Welcome to the teaching podcast of Wellspring Church in New York City. We are a community that seeks to live in the way of Jesus and hope that you will be encouraged by today's teaching.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brett Pontecorvo, and I co-lead the prayer team with Kemitra, who is out here somewhere. Woo! It's an honor, truly an honor. My son, Shu, is usually the one running around in the front of the room over here, and Christina will be here later for second service. My family is the greatest ministry and are constantly grounding, and aside from doing prayer ministry and all of this stuff, it is the most refining, beautiful thing that I get to participate in. On that note, when I'm not doing all of those things, I work in marketing for several really small music tech companies, and I teach piano lessons and do a bunch of other music-related things. And I became a Christian in the year 2013, which, as I'm writing this, I realize that was now more than 10 years ago. At one of the previous iterations of this church, I think there's a 2013 picture. There it is. There it is. God can save you from your sins, but not from your fashion choices. So there it goes. Yes. So 2013, previous iteration of this church, and before we were Wellspring, we were Trinity Grace. Before we were Trinity Grace, we were Skyline City Church, and there are a few of us, yes, Georgia, few of us who have made it. But it was actually through a strange series of events that I had been invited to a side event of the church called Who is God? And I was trying to kind of figure my life out. I was doing like the self-medication thing and kind of just dabbling in everything that I possibly could. And so night number one, I got invited to this class, Francis Chan, pretty cool thing. The first scripture that they put on the screen is from Proverbs 9:10, and it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And the moment I heard this, I was like, I am in. I am all the way in. And I think it was because, you know, like I had tried a bunch of other stuff, you know? And, you know, practices, ideas, oils, like everything. But when I saw this verse, I was like, this is larger than me. And so maybe this won't just make me feel better. Maybe this will actually heal me. And so I left that night thinking, I have to go figure out what the rest of that book says. You know, and so it started me on this whole journey, which, to be honest, like changed the entire trajectory of my life. Like, I wouldn't be standing on the stage, let alone leading any type of ministry, anything. In 2013, I don't think I would have known what the word ministry was. I would never have met my wife. My children would have probably still been playing jazz gigs, which is cool. Like that, you know, but it just, you know, literally everything completely changed at that point. And so today, we're going to talk through how to pray the scripture. And there are a lot of different ways. This has been done throughout history, and there are people still doing it now. I have to say, this changed everything for me, because you have a moment where you encounter spirit, and everything shifts, but without standing on truth, you can't be grounded. And so we need both things. Now, what I've come to learn through this whole process, my own process, but also through walking with people, learning how to pray, and seeing transformation, is that praying scriptures clarifies three key questions. If you've been here for a while, you've heard them. We use this in the CARES Network, which was started here, by Demetra, Pastor Demetra, Kemitra, lots of key players here. But the three questions are this: who am I? Who is God? And what's the story? Who am I? Who is God? And what's the story? And having a fully clear picture on these three questions matters, because it affects how we see everything and how we navigate the world. And the same way, like if you're trying to be a professional athlete or a professional musician, you're not gonna do those things sometimes. This needs to be done again and again and again. We need to be stepping into alignment. And what's particularly interesting about this practice is that you change, right? So like, as you pray and you answer these questions, you have to go back again, because the question, who am I, no longer has the same answer. right? Even the face of God, as you see more depth, has a different answer. And the story also continues to change, because as we grow, the story that we're being invited to step into also changes. And so it's a rinse and repeat cycle that requires constant upkeep. And I actually believe today one of the things we're stepping into is activation. And so we're going to talk about praying the scriptures, but really, this is the scriptures transforming you. So I want to ground everything in scripture, since that's what we're talking about. And this is from Deuteronomy 6, and this is a passage of scripture that is commonly prayed. It's called the Shema. It's a Jewish prayer, and it's something that, like, children will pray every night before bed, like the Jewish Our Father. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God," there it is again, "serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." There is so much here. There's so much here. But I want to just pull out three specific things that are going to help us navigate through our time today. Number one, we will forget who we are, who God is, and what the story is. We just will. And so that's why God is saying, hey, I made you. I know this is going to be a problem. Think about this all the time. When you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you're walking along the road, tell your children about it. Remind yourself. You're going to forget. Number two, don't worship other gods. And the reason I pull that out specifically is because the moment we step into raising something above the Lord, we've altered the picture of who God is and who you are and what the story is, right? It's that one shift, all three things change. And the last thing is what we do or don't do, good or bad, will be passed down to future generations. You are going to leave a mark. So when you read this passage and it's like, things you didn't plant, olive groves, like you didn't do it, you're literally stepping into it. This is an invitation to be aware of who you are, who God is, and what the story is, so that people can step into it who didn't have to do it. I was just talking with Ben in the back. There are children who just graduated today, born into this church, that will never know what it's like to set up church in an Italian restaurant at 5:30 in the morning, which is where we started. They have it so easy. Anyway, it's an inheritance. It's what we're leaving. And so if we don't orient ourselves around the word of God, we will orient ourselves around something. We're constantly doing it, just as creatures. Our pain, our goals, our news feeds, our own understanding. And when we don't do that, our stories start to shift. But when we pray the scriptures, we're binding them to our hearts. We're talking about them when we wake up, when we go to bed, when we travel. We're orienting ourselves around something that brings life. It's transformative, has the power to change. And so what I would have called at the time a quote made me think of this Bible as a real ramp out of a hot mess of a situation that I had built for myself. And so in that season of my life, I didn't really understand what I was doing, but I would read the Bible and I would be like, Lord, what does this mean? Like, tell me who I am. And then I wasn't a spectator, right? I wasn't just like consuming this book. I was interacting with it in ways that made it real. And so this is an invitation for you today to step into the same thing. When you do it, three things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to orient yourself around the key players and their roles. Who are you? Who is God? What's your story? And when you're secure in that, the Lord is going to graciously show you who you are. We're going to call this reflecting. When you have that stability, God's like, hey, by the way, this is what you look like. Sometimes we don't always like it. This is his generosity because he loves us. And then lastly, igniting, right? This is you actually being the weird guy and going and talking about it. It's beautiful. It's what actually sets us up to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. So when we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, all of this stuff, this orienting and this being transformed and looking at yourself clearly, it already happened, right? And then it's not weird anymore. Okay, so let's go into the orienting thing and talk about that in a little bit more detail. So in the CARES Network, which I've already mentioned several times, we're always trying to answer this question, who am I, who is God, and what's the story? Which, by the way, we do have a CARES Network training coming up. The reason I mention it, aside from the fact that, like, you know, we love to have people in the ministry, is it is a transformative way to look at praying. So if you want to understand how God speaks and works through generations, works through your own life, works through patterns, and step into actually having the ability to navigate that, sign up. Oh my goodness. Truly, it's amazing. But I guess the hidden gold here is that when we see one of these questions as bad or subpar or not quite right, we end up not being able to function how we were designed to function. Because God, when he designed these three things, made them all good. Right? Like, you are his creation, he is your God, and you were literally built to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. So when any of those things come out of alignment, you don't function at 100%. So earlier in the year, we spent a long time praying through Psalm 23, and when you just read, not pray, but just read, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. You probably feel encouraged, right? Like, this is an encouraging piece of scripture. When you make the shift to praying it, what you're doing is coming into alignment. And what that means is when you're praying it back to God, you're saying, I agree with you. Sometimes this requires a little bit of faith, and oftentimes you're saying, I agree, before you've actually seen it or before you even feel it. That's why this is called faith, right? In Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So for example, if we were to pray, Lord, you are my shepherd, and I lack nothing. We could stop on that one sentence for hours. And depending on where you are, that's going to shift you to begin interceding and being like, Lord, if you are my shepherd, then, right? Or it's going to shift you into being like, Lord, you are my shepherd and I love you. And you're going to be stepped right into that moment of intimacy and adoration. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside quiet waters. You refresh my soul. And in this one shift where we go from consuming the scripture to repeating them back to the Lord, this is no longer just a spectator sport, right? This becomes alive. It says all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It is the reason why in Deuteronomy 6, it says to bind the words on your heart and talk about them when you sit at home and walk along the road. The words matter. And if all you ever did was this, like sit down with the scripture and pray it back to the Lord, you will, without a doubt, be completely transformed. You're going to experience that invitation where Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and burdened and I will give you rest. You just will. You can't avoid it. But when you do that and you are clear on those three things, you just always go deeper because he loves you. And this is where we move into this whole concept of reflecting. And this part is uncomfortable, but I have to tell you that when God points something out to you about yourself, it's for your benefit every time. And if you remember that the Lord is my shepherd, this reflection is way easier to swallow than if the Lord is your employer or the guy who lives next door. Because he loves you. He's your shepherd. He's trying to care for you. And when you pray them, they pray you. And it brings a deep level sometimes of conviction. And it relieves us from believing lies about who you are, about what your story is, and about who God is. This is part of the work of removing the plank from your own eye before you try and remove this. I did that backwards. Hopefully you guys know the verse. But the concept is, like, you have to be cleaned. You got to be transformed. And whenever we talk about conviction, that can feel a little bit weird, right? You know, like, I don't want to be convicted, Lord. I want to be comfortable. Me too. There's a verse in Scripture that says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So forgiveness, intimacy, has already been purchased for you. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be consequences of your action. It just means that every single time you come back to the Lord, you're going to find forgiveness because he purchased it. It's all of him for all of us. That means he actually wants to bring these imperfections to the surface because he wants you to be completely free. He wants you to be whole and healed. No unholy burdens, no heaviness, no sin. You're being transformed into his image. And even better than that, the pathway has already been cleared for you. In some ways, all you have to do is show up. Right? I mean, it's a good deal. So when you pray back to God, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And you say, Lord, am I serving another God? And you let him answer you. If the answer is yes, you've just been given an open door to step into freedom. And sometimes I've found that in these moments, whether it be idolatry or like willing sin or just misgiving, when you're actually vulnerable with the Lord and the answer is yes, and you stand with him and he looks at you and he's like, yes, and also I love you. Those are the moments where you experience this intimacy with him, where you are so undone and you are so transformed. There is no replacement for the Lord's discipline. Because discipline from someone who is imperfect and a human sometimes carries false motives. But discipline from the Lord carries this heart to see you whole. Now, I want to say, because this is a pitfall that I've fallen into many times, you don't need to wait for a moment of repentance or conviction from God to experience intimacy with him. This is one pathway, but it's beautiful, and the vulnerability is worth it. He's just saying, don't do this, do that, and also I love you. And people who are fully known and fully loved are full of fire, because they know who their Father is. The title of today's sermon, right? Praying the Scriptures could have easily been titled Reorient, Reflect, Ignite. It could also just be transformed. Like, be fully alive. Don't be afraid of seeing who you are, because God sees you. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be ignited. Like, this is a joyful opportunity. This is not a heavy burden of work. This is an invitation for intimacy. And the ironic part of all of this is, if you want that to be your main story of your life, you just have to make Jesus the main part. It's like not just reading the Chronicles of Narnia, but like stepping into the wardrobe. Your stuff starts to get crazy, but it's way more fun. It's more fun to be fully alive than to be hiding from someone who literally sees everything. When you see who you are, when you know who God is, when you know who the story is, you want to tell people. And if you don't want to tell people, people will just ask you because they're like, what is going on? When I met Jesus, people were confused. They wanted to know what happened. And it's not like we're saying like, hey, you know, be this transformed before you can share the gospel or whatever. But when you know who you are, when you know you've been forgiven, this is great news, and you just want people to know about it. You're not afraid to be the strange person. And as a matter of fact, there are a lot of people who really want someone to be strangely bold and say, you need to hear what just happened. Whew. My outline is gone, guys. The Bible's canonized, right? It's done, but our lives are not done. So what you're doing right now are the stories and the continuations of what has been written in this book. Like, you are the great cloud of witnesses. Like, we're standing with them right now. So we get to actually answer the question, what do you want the book of your life to say? It was fine. I'm okay. We have an invitation for way more than that. Way, way more than that. And when we pray the scriptures, we are reminded just what the invitation is. Jesus says we're going to do greater works than him. It's a pretty grand statement, but have you read the stuff that guy did when he was here? When I first read the scriptures, I remember thinking, great! I now have the power to drive out demons and heal people. Fantastic! And I believed it so wholeheartedly that I was seeing it happen. Like, I actually, we still see it happen. Okay, so if any of this is like stirring you and you're kind of with me and you're like, I want my life to be alive, like I want to be alive. Well, how do we step into praying the scriptures? What do we do? There are classical ways you can pray through the scriptures. Things like adoration, thanksgiving, contemplation, intercession, lament. We've actually talked about a lot of them during the series. And they're all good. And we're actually going to do them all, but we're going to use the scripture as a conduit to get there. So the four ways that we can go about actually praying the scriptures are questions, asking God questions about the scriptures, declarations, declaring the scriptures, coming into agreement with what they say, meditation, thinking about it, intercession, noticing that something is not the way it should be. And before I start, I like to do the same thing every time. Have something to write with, just in case. Get quiet, like still your body. Take some deep breaths, and then listen. Sometimes our bodies, or our brains, or our spirits are trying to get our attention, and I think we've been somewhat trained to not listen to them. Sometimes we treat them like they're an inconvenience. When we give them a proper place, there is a lot to be learned. And so stop and listen. Listen to your body. Listen to your mind. Listen to your spirit. And it doesn't take a long time, a minute or two. Stop, and then, step three, invite Jesus. Holy Spirit, will you come be with me? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And then you pray. So let's start with questions. Ask God questions about what you are reading. There is so much depth in just taking this one step because these are his words to begin with. These are all spoken by him, inspired by him, stories about what he did. And so he knows the deeper revelation of what this word means. He knows how it applies to the season it was written in. He knows what he's trying to communicate with you. He knows what he's trying to speak over the church. He knows. And so if we have the humility to ask him, he will reveal it. So some simple questions, but I could have filled 40 slides with these things. God, what do you want me to see in this verse? What does this reveal about who you are? Do I believe this is true about you? If it's not, is there somebody I need to forgive for making me feel like this isn't true? Am I carrying a wound? Lord, can you help me forgive them? I know that's not on there. Where in my life is this already happening? Where is it missing? And when you read something like in Deuteronomy 6, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, then you can ask the Lord, what do you want me to see in this verse? And so, in preparation for today, I did. And I feel like the Lord showed me inheritance. And we're standing on the shoulders of people who came before us, did work that we don't have to do, there are things my children will never have to get free from. And we're standing in a room full of people who can probably say the same thing. There's freedom and breakthrough represented in this room already. And so you might respond in prayer by saying, "Thank you, Lord, that before I was, you were, that you knew what I needed and you went ahead of me. Thank you for promising me things on account of your character and not on account of what I am, what I've done, or what I've earned." This is adoration. This is saying, "Lord, I love you." Or you might take a step forward and say, "Lord, help me be a part of a generation who builds something so that our children and the people who come after us have a legacy to step into." And that's intercession. You might find yourself in a place where you're standing in a whole bunch of nothing. But that doesn't mean it has to stay there. We can ask God to come and do something. This is intercession. And so one question, "Lord, what do you want me to see in this passage of Scripture?" can open the door to adoration, to praise, to intercession, to lament. And I like to say this, maybe I even said it today. When you read a passage of Scripture, depending on what you are going through, you're going to be led into any one of these things, and it's good. There are like passages that are written specifically that are like lament passages, but when you read "The Lord is my shepherd" and everything is falling apart, that is lament. Okay, declarations. So this is something we use on the prayer team a lot. And all it means, like we said earlier, is coming into alignment with what God has said about you, about your story, about people around you, about entities. And so I'm going to put up on the screen a bunch of declarations or blessings. And these are from an iteration of the prayer manual. And any of these can be taken and declared. You're not limited to these, but this is what fit on one slide. And so a lot of times the way I will use it or the way I see it used is it's kind of like one after another. So you've quieted yourself, you've stilled your mind, you invited Jesus, you're waiting, and you're like, "I'm not really sure where to start, so I'm going to go through some of these declarations. I'm going to speak them over myself." Works great for praying with people too. But you might say, "Lord, thank you that there is nothing that can separate me from your love." Romans 8. "Thank you, Lord, that you fill me with joy and peace." Romans 15. "Thank you, Lord, that you love me, that you chose me, that you have not made me afraid, but you've given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind." And like, even as I speak that right now, you feel things start to shift. And it's bringing clarity around who are you, loved, chosen, who is God, the one who loved you, the one who chose you, and what's the story? The story's good. This is a good story, guys. And it shifts the atmosphere. And it's Christianese, right? The way that I like to define shifting the atmosphere, really it just means that the collective noise, the stuff happening in your brain, your heart, your spirit, the people with you, their brain, their heart, their spirit, it bows. It makes space for the Lord to speak. I remember doing ministry with someone who's super close to me. A woman came up for prayer and was just experiencing inner turmoil, just like frantic in turmoil, and I remember being like, "Whoa, I don't know what to do." I'm like 22 or something, very little experience, and I remember she came up and she was like, "Okay, we're gonna pray for you," and she just started quoting Scripture over and over, verse after verse after verse, and the woman's entire countenance changed. The anxiety disappeared, the panic left, the franticness went, and it was after praying through these declarations over this woman that she began to prophesy over her. She left, like, joyful. And I remember thinking, how did she do that? And at the time, I didn't have an answer. And when I look back on that, I'm like, those are the words of Scripture. This was just saying, "God, this is what you spoke about this frantic, overwhelmed woman in unbelievable pain. She can't see it. But God said it. This is what you said, Lord." Silence. Space for God to move. Again, declarations are door openers. And so as you begin to say it, you may feel like, "Lord, you've not given me a spirit of fear, except I am afraid." But Lord, you said. Okay, declarations. Let's move on to meditation. The Deuteronomy 6 passage that we read is tiptoeing around meditation the entire time. So when it says, these commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads. He's just saying, think about it all the time. So in the Christian or Jewish context, meditation is not an emptying of the mind, it's a filling of the mind. It's to slowly think over a verse, repeat it out loud, repeat it in your mind if you need to, and ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on it. A mentor of mine, David Fritsch, wrote a book, it's called Enthroned. If you haven't read it, go read it. But I was meeting with him, and he was like, Brett, I want you to meditate on a verse. And this was maybe 3 years ago, and I was like, great, let's do it. And I'm like hoping for like something obscure, you know, like give me some Habakkuk verse or something I've never heard of before. And he said, Brett, I want you to meditate on, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I thought, I've heard this verse one too many times. This verse is not super meaningful to me, and I'm going to do it anyway because I trust you. So I remember I woke up in the morning, made coffee, I'm sitting down at my kitchen table in the dark. If I turn the lights on, I wake up my son who has like windows on his doors. And I remember saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to meditate on this scripture. Let's see what happens. And so I was sitting there and I'm like, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, and I will give you rest, and I will give you rest, and I will give you rest. And at some point, I just felt like everything that I couldn't rest from was spilling out of me. And I sat at the kitchen table and I wept. And I wept and I wept and I wept. And then I came back tomorrow and I did the same thing. And I just cried and cried. God didn't really need to speak to me. But I needed to know that I could rest in him. We talk a lot about God within us, and the Holy Spirit does live in you. Sometimes in these moments of meditation, we experience God outside of us. When God enters the room, sometimes weeping or falling on your face is the only thing we can do. It's to our benefit to allow him to strip us because he wants us to be whole. And so all three of these things, they're just pathways, right? They're pathways to presence, whether you're stepping in and declaring truth and entering his presence that way, or you're asking him questions and entering his presence that way. It's all about him. The book is about him, and if you're willing, your life will be about him. Intercession. We've talked about this a little bit already. Pratik did a great word explaining intercession. So this is just a short brush up against that, but I think it's important. When you pray scripture, you must mind the gap. And in any of the examples that we've talked about today, depending on the season that you're in, you are going to notice that what God has said is true is not the truth of the reality that you are currently experiencing. And we have an invitation to hold him accountable to what he has spoken. He actually asks us to. It's part of what we get to do when we say yes and partner with him. And so, if you say something like, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, you might find yourself going, thank you, Jesus, you've done it, right? Like, this is adoration. Lord, you supplied all of my needs. But you may also find yourself being like, Jesus, I have a rent payment due in 3 days, and I have no money in which to pay said rent. But you said this thing. And I believe you more than I believe the number in my checking account. It's bold. It's not always about money, by the way. But believing what is written more than you believe what you are experiencing is the gateway to power. It's faith. And so as we refine, who am I? Who is God? What's the story? you step into prayer and you are able to stand and say, absolutely not. You have spoken that you will meet every single need, and therefore I will not be in lack. You are the good shepherd, and therefore my story will be good. This is intercession. You might pray something and ache for someone else. We actually have an entire team in this church dedicated just to interceding. And every week for 1 hour, they go into the book and they say, it says this, and we are not seeing it. Lord, will you let your kingdom come? Lord, will you let your kingdom come? It all starts in the scripture because there's nothing new under the sun, right? Like, it's in the book. If you're walking through it right now, it has already been experienced. If you're seeing it right now, someone already saw it. And so when you pray the scriptures, you're getting to not redo work, right? Like, somebody already went through the most painful thing you are going through. Somebody already healed from it. Somebody already laid a pathway for you to stand in victory with these things. And so as we pray them, we have the power and the support of the cloud of witnesses standing with us, saying, hey, the Lord's already seen it. This is a practice. There's not like a wrong way to do this. There's not a wrong way to pray the scriptures. This isn't for just the elite. This is for the hungry. In Isaiah, it says this. It says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. So if you are hungry, or if you want to be hungry, if you're tired of eating what doesn't satisfy and you want a taste of something that brings the fullness of life, then this thing, praying the scriptures, being in God's presence, this is for you. If you've tried before and it didn't work, this is also for you. If you feel like you're on the outside and you don't get it and everybody else is getting something that you're missing, this is also for you. So if you're hungry to be transformed and experience that intimacy and the love with the Father, then this is for you. It's for everyone who thirsts. We're in a unique position in this room right now, because when I look out, I can literally see stories of people whose lives have been completely transformed by being in the presence of the Lord. We're surrounded by a cloud of testimony and people who are full of faith, knowing what happens when we enter into prayer. And so we have all of this stuff. You can literally go back and listen to it and practice this. And I want you to. I want you to. But in this space right now, I want to try and move some different levers. Stand with me if you're willing and if you're able. As we were praying this morning, there were several words that were coming up about promotion, which I think is a Christian word for stepping into what God designed for you to do. There were some words about the activation of gifts, and that means everybody's been built to do cool things with Jesus. Some people hear his voice really clearly. Some people talk about him really well. Some people bring order and organization to chaos. And there were also some words about risk. Taking risk to step in and see things come into existence. There was a woman, we'll save that for another time. When we raise the level of faith and we take risks, God meets us every time. And so I'm going to invite some groups of people to come forward because I believe God wants to meet with you. I believe God wants to transform you, and I believe God wants you to leave this room full of joy, knowing that who you are is good, knowing that he is good, and knowing that the story is good. So there are three groups of people that I want to call forward. And before I name them, this is a step of faith. This is scary. That's okay. Because God loves you and he wants to meet you. When we pull the lever of faith, God moves every single time. And so the front of the room is not special beyond the fact that you're raising your hand saying, Lord, I want you to meet with me. If you find yourself in a place where you would like to have greater faith, you would like to step into gifts with fresh power, you would like to be the person who's not consuming, but participating, then I want you to come forward over here on this side. If you heard these words and you felt unbelievably convicted and you want to step into some repentance, come over here, all the way on that side. By the way, no one is watching you. It feels like the spotlight's on you when you come forward to the front of the room. It's not. Everybody's over there concerned about themselves. It's true, guys. I stand up here every week. And lastly, ministry. So if you are feeling called to step into ministry, to leading, or to step back into ministry and leading, come right forward to the center. I'm going to begin to pray briefly before we step into worship. Prayer team people may come and pray for you. By the way, if you don't fall into one of those three categories, we have the best prayer team, I'm biased, on the sides. So go ask for prayer for anything that you need. So, gifts, faith, activation, joy, repentance, ministry. Holy Spirit, please come. Lord, be with us. We invite your spirit to be here. And that might feel like heat. That might feel like tears. That might feel like shaking. That might feel like laughter. All of those things are okay. Holy Spirit, come and be with us. Lord, right now we pray for a fresh filling of gifts. Holy Spirit, we ask that where there have been dormant gifts, they would be resurrected right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, where the gifts have not fully flourished, Lord, we pray for a release of them. Lord, for those of us who have been afraid to step into them, Holy Spirit, we release power and love over those people right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we stand with full faith that it's your desire to see us fully activated, alive, full of strange and overwhelming joy. Lord, we come into agreement that this is your design. So Holy Spirit, come and pour out your fresh gifts, your fresh faith. Lord, we lift up those who stand in repentance right now. Now, Holy Spirit, we release your love over them in the name of Jesus. Lord, that where someone has come to you asking for forgiveness, you are always willing to give immediately. Lord, we release the gift of intimacy over them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that where there has been a wall, you tear the wall down. Lord, that where there's been a divide, you remove it. Lord, that where there has been hopelessness, you bring restoration. Holy Spirit, all of these things are small for you. Lord, we speak over those who feel called to lead. And Holy Spirit, we ask for your vision to be implanted on their hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, where there's been a lack of vision, boldness, or provision, Lord, that you meet all of our needs according to your riches. And it's not too late to come forward, even if I've been praying and something stirs on you. Pray these things in your name.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can find out more about our church community at wellspringchurchnyc.com.